remain standing, if you will. Turn to 2 Kings chapter number 4. Amen. Appreciate that good song. I will sing of my Redeemer. Amen. Nothing better to sing about than being purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. By the way, good to have our visitors with us. Appreciate Samson and his wife, Jonathan. I'm sorry. I do that every time. Amen. Jonathan and his wife and family been with us. They got that little one now. Amen. Appreciate them being with us here in the house of God. Amen. And then Brother Matt's mom being with us again today. We're glad for that. Amen. I want to welcome all these in the house of God and hope and pray that you'll be blessed of the Lord for being here. Second Kings chapter number 4. And a thought the Lord gave me a couple of weeks ago. When we were in Kansas, and I took some notes with me, what I thought if the Lord gave me an opportunity to preach what I might would preach on. And while I was there, the Lord started dealing with me about this text. And so I jotted down a few things, and I thought probably that might be the direction that I'd go. And then before that he called on me, the Lord changed my mind in a different direction, totally. And matter of fact, confirmed to me that message was for this particular service. It's a Mother's Day message, I guess, to the mothers. But 2 Kings chapter 4, probably a very familiar text to you. We'll read the first 7 verses, then we'll pray and I'll allow you to be seated. The Bible said, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes.
Thank you so much for Jesus and for your precious blood that's made today possible.
Yes, sir.
We've come to worship today in spirit and in truth. Manifest the power of God to our hearts. Help us, Lord. I pray that in the year of our lives and our life today, help us answer the truth to us.
Yes, Lord.
Help
us
in the entire lesson. Help your people.
Sunday school hour. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. By the way, we did have a good Sunday school hour. And if you miss Sunday school, you miss. You miss out. And I encourage you to be here and get from that. You'd be blessed if you do. Amen. In all the classes, I'm sure. I appreciate that prayer as well, Brother Hall. Amen. This text, as I said, that I read to you, I know is familiar. We've read it a number of times. I don't know that we think about it necessarily for a Mother's Day, and my take on it a little bit unusual perhaps, but I felt like the Lord would have me look at this and focus on some words in the first verse. The first verse, I've underlined a few words. I'll just read through it, and when I get there, I'll tell you the words. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and here's my phrase, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. I want to preach on those words this morning and preach on this thought. Mama, the creditor is coming for the kids. The creditor is coming for the kids. Amen. I'm thinking about the fact that our children are being targeted. Our children are being pursued by an evil enemy. Amen. Amen. I believe that mothers have great potential, and mothers should care about this matter of their children. Amen. And so we need to be alerted. We need to be reminded of that. And I've just got a few points. I'll not be long, more than likely, but let me give you the introductory remarks concerning this text. First of all, this section of text, 2 Kings chapter 4 primarily, is dealing with miracle after miracle. I don't think they're in necessarily a chronological order. They're one miracle after another to prove to the people of Israel that Elisha was a prophet, that he is the man of God. That's what this seems to be placed in here for. He did a couple of miracles in chapter 2, one miracle in chapter 3, but the majority of his miracles are right here in chapter number 4. Some commentators read how that this first and second miracle are very similar to miracles that Elijah, the predecessor of Elisha, performed. This multiplying of the oil that happened with the widow of Zarephath when Elijah went, not only the meal kept, but the oil kept. God kept multiplying that, and this is very similar to that. But this is not to sustain the prophet. This is to sustain a mother and her sons. Amen. And then there's the case after this. You've got the great woman of Shunem. They make the prophet's room that we get that word from, the idea from. They make that prophet's room for Elisha. Her son dies, and Elisha comes and raises the son just like that Elijah did, that widow of Zarephath's son, when he died, and he raised the son. Amen. And so there's a reason for this text being here. It's to prove that Elisha is a man of God. He was looked upon a lot of times just as the servant to the man of God. You remember when the kings were going to battle and they'd gone a few days out in departure, headed towards the battlefield, and they get there with no water? They run out of water. There's no water to be found. And the king says, "Is there not a man of God?" And they said, "Well, there's Elisha that poured water on the hands of Elijah." In other words, they said, "Well, we got a fellow that's not really a full-blown prophet. He's just a servant to the prophet." And the king said, "Bring him." And of course, God did a wonderful miracle by bringing him in there. And it gives us an opportunity to say this because I believe it's true. I believe before you're used mightily of God, you got to be used of God. Amen. There's a time of service before there's a time of shine. Amen. There's a time of dedication before there's a time of declaration. I believe that's very obvious in the Scripture, and you do well. Amen. You do well to learn to be a servant and never expect to be more than that, because then God can get the glory for doing that. But in this proving of Elisha as a man of God, this text particularly gives us a great instance of that. The teaching all through Scripture is that God is interested in widows and orphans. He says a whole lot about the fatherless and the widows. Amen. Matter of fact, God sets it as a mark and a sign of godliness that people are concerned about the fatherless and widows. When Job was arguing his case to his friends that claimed he was at fault for his disease and for the disaster that had come upon him, Job said that I've been good to the fatherless and I've been good to the widows, and that was a sign of his godliness. Matter of fact, when God brought up about how great Job had been, he mentioned some of that as well. But there's also a mark of ungodliness when people, a society or a nation, neglect widows and orphans. I got to thinking about that. We're living in that day. Amen. A day when babies are not appreciated. Amen. I was, in a sense, shocked to find out that it's been in the news the last couple of days that our governor signed a new law into order to trying to limit a certain kind of abortion in the state of Kentucky. There's only one abortion clinic left. None of the Planned Parenthood abortion clinics. There's only one abortion clinic left in the state. And immediately when he signed the order, they put out a lawsuit against it. And a judge struck it down. And of course, he said, we're going to fight it to the Supreme Court if necessary. I say, amen. But here's what I was saddened to hear, that the latest statistics that they have on abortion in Kentucky was that in 2016, there was over 3,300 abortions, babies killed that one year in this state. Now, that's not a lot when you think across the whole United States, there's that many or more every day that's killed in the United States. But in our state, you think about it, over a 3-year period, they would have wiped out a city the size of Madisonville. 17,000 people. Amen. In 3 years' time, they'd have killed that many babies. But we're living in a time when they don't respect babies. They don't appreciate babies. Amen. And on a day of motherhood, Mother's Day, it'd be a good time to celebrate motherhood. Amen. But there's another case. They don't seem to have much respect for older folks. I think of widows primarily as older people. Not necessarily that they have to be old, Miss Ann. Amen. But, but that you think of that as generally as an older. We're living in a day when little children are not productive. Matter of fact, they hinder our lifestyle. Sometimes older folks are considered not productive and they hinder our lifestyle. If we're not careful, we're going to get to a day when they not only shove them off in a corner somewhere, but they forget about them and they don't care about them. Amen. God said there's a mark of godliness when you do care about the widows and the orphans, and there's a mark of ungodliness when you don't care about the widows and the orphans. Amen. Amen. I believe that even Christians have to fight this trend, because it's in our society. There's a mindset. We got to remind ourselves that God is interested in these folks. Therefore, we ought to be merciful. We ought to be patient. Amen. We ought to show care in our deportment towards these others. Amen. I put this note, and I believe it's right. A godless society breeds anger, resentment, impatience, violence, and neglect towards weaker or less productive individuals in that society. Amen. However, a God-fearing society begets love, compassion, concern, helpfulness, patience, and aid given to those weaker ones in our society. Amen. Amen. Now, not only this account was given, I believe, to give credit to Elisha as being a prophet. But this account is of a woman, a widow, who is one, her husband was one of the sons of the prophets. And many Jewish rabbis, including Josephus, who wasn't a rabbi but a historian, believe that this was Obadiah, that Brother Steve read about earlier. I personally see reasons why maybe it wasn't. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. It was somebody that had got in debt, intending, no doubt in their mind, intending to pay that debt back, but they died without the debt actually being paid. Her husband, though a good man and a servant of the Lord, had died leaving some unpaid debt. Not just that that's bad enough, but now this harsh creditor is knocking on her door. When he says, what do you have in your house? And she said, all I've got is a pot of oil. Oil was one of the most necessary ingredients in the life of an Easterner. They needed it not only to cook with, they needed it to anoint themselves with, because it's such an arid climate, and they needed that oil. It was a necessary thing. But it appears she said, I don't have anything that's not necessary. Matter of fact, I don't have many things that would be staples. It looks to me like maybe the creditor's already took the couch. He's already took the bed. Amen. He's already took the rug off the floor. He's already taken the food out of the cupboard. He's already taken nearly everything she's got, and now he's coming for her sons. Sad. But she comes to the man of God. Amen. She knew that Elisha was friendly with the king of Israel. He'd done some things for the king of Israel, and we see in here he showed him some of the spies and things. I mean, they thought he was a spy in their camp. When, because Elisha, they said, the Lord tells, he tells the king, whispers in his ear, what you're doing in secret. Amen. And so he was friends with the king of Israel. But I believe it went more than that. She knew he was acquainted with the God of heaven. Amen. And that's why she went to this man. Amen. She was not just going to a man. She was going to the man of God. Her idea was going to God. I believe that is seen very easily, and we'll deal with that as we go along. Notice also that this section does not remark upon any wrongdoing by the prophet. Though he had gotten in debt, though he died with that debt unpaid, he does not ridicule him. Neither the prophet nor the wife run this, I say the prophet, Elisha, nor the wife of the prophet that had died, do not rail upon this man. He simply had gotten in debt and was not able to pay it before he passed away. Amen. I hear sometimes people deride him and degrade him for dying and leaving his family in such a state, and I don't recommend it. We do know the Bible's plain. The borrower is servant to the lender. That's in your King James Bible. The borrower is servant to the lender. It puts us in bondage when we get ourselves in debt. Amen. Especially today, we're living in a lot of frivolous debt. Amen. And so debt's not a good thing. Amen. Debt is a bad thing. Matter of fact, I think I've probably mentioned this, that I learned a few months ago. I read it somewhere, so I looked it up to see if it's true. I Googled it to see. And if Google's right, it was right. It said that the word debt, in the word that we use for debt in German, I forgot now the words. I've got them written down. There's two different words that it can mean, and it means sin. And we can see it in the King James Bible. One of the Lord's prayers, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Another one, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. It's the same phrase. And if we would look at debt as a bad thing, amen, it'd help us. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you're sinful if you're in debt. I believe you owe it. You ought to pay it as best you can. Amen. And I'm in the same boat. I'm not throwing rocks at you, but I'm saying if we'd recognize debt not as a good thing, but a scary thing, a very dangerous thing, and could very well be a bad thing, it would help us. Amen. But they didn't make these statements against him because it is possible that death come upon you unaware and you're not able to meet all your obligations. That didn't mean that you did wrong. It just meant you couldn't foretell the future. Amen. And so it doesn't say anything wrong about or bad about this man that died actually in debt. Another thing it doesn't say bad, it doesn't say anything bad about the man wanting his money. Amen. Elisha does not say all that mean, and apparently he does look harsh to me, that he's done took everything she's got and he's not going to be satisfied until he gets those boys. But a debt owed is a debt owed. Amen. It is a debt owed. But what if something bad happens? It's still a debt owed. What if something unforeseen happened? It's still a debt owed. Amen. It's just, and it's a principle in the Bible. Matter of fact, that was one of the laws that Moses set up. And Israel had the law that if a man could actually sell his children into, we'd say, slavery in order to pay his debt, he could be cast into slavery. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, our Lord mentions about that man that owes that debt, has a problem with his neighbor, he doesn't get it settled. He said he's to be sold until the debt is paid. Amen. And so it doesn't say that this man is being wrong in wanting his money back. He wanted the loan agreement to be complete. They didn't jump on him and say, well, he's a predatory lender. Amen? Right. Predatory lender. I think you understand what that's a big phrase they came out with a few years ago. And he said, people are not responsible for the money they've borrowed. These banks entice them to borrow that money. And I realize we get all these credit card offers. Listen, best thing to do with them is file them in 513. Amen. Amen. You say, but I mean, they think I'm so good that I can get it. Sure, they think your dog's good enough to get one. They think dead people's good enough to get one. Amen. Because they know they're going to get their money back. They know they're going to get you in bondage. These payday lender places, amen. These, cash loan, title holding. Listen, I think you better be careful with all that. Going in debt's not a good thing. I'll just, that's enough of that. All right. Mother's Day, that's a good message. Amen. But this story reminds us, the whole story reminds us of God's ability to bring much out of little. God's ability to make something great out of something small. This woman was insignificant in Israel. Matter of fact, we don't know her name, nor the name of her sons, nor the name of her husband. We don't know any of that. But now she's famous in Israel because what God did with this little small thing. Her little bit of faith produced a great miracle. Amen. That little bit of oil became a great blessing that just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring until that it was more than was necessary to meet her needs. Amen. Amen. Now, having said that, that's all by way of introduction. I've got four things that I want you to look at in the text. I'm going to point out four, and then I'm going to give you the four more. That's actually my message. But four real quick. I notice in verse number one, there's a problem. The creditor is coming for the kids. Amen. I noticed right here in verse number two, there's a pot in the house. Amen. A good mama's got a pot. She might sell the couch, but she's going to keep a pot. I'm not talking about marijuana. Amen. Amen. But she had something in the home. Then I believe there's praying involved. When he said in verse number three, go borrow the vessels. You're asking, you're praying, you're seeking for something. Amen. And then in verse number four, he said, you go in there, shut the door, and you pour out, verse number four, pour out unto all these vessels. Listen, mamas, you got something at home that can be used of God. You might think this ain't much, just a little pot. Amen. But God can use it for His glory and honor. Amen. Amen. If you'll pray and if you'll pour out, you got to just pour out into those children. You got to pour out unto them, unto God. Amen. I believe it's right there in the text. Well, let me give you these points of my message today. First of all, this woman was menaced by fear. Verse number one. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Amen. This woman was in dire straits. This woman was under harsh circumstances. Amen. Her husband was dead. Her children were about to be dragged off, taken by force from her protection. She was not only fearful of her own circumstances, but she was fearful of the state of her children. What's going to become of these two boys? Amen. Amen. We live in a day when most of us do not have to fear too greatly where we're going to get our next meal. Amen. Amen. We don't have to fear how we're going to survive. We've got plenty of food, plenty of clothing, good shelter. Amen. I realize there's people in our society that do not, but most of us do. Amen. But I tell you what we ought to fear and what we ought to give some thought to. And that is what's going to happen to our children. What's going to happen to our children? What are they going to be subjected to? Who are they going to serve? Amen. What's going to take them in bondage? What's going to captivate their consciousness? What's going to get control of their thought processes? Amen. We ought to be concerned about it. Now, I say this, especially to the ladies. I'm preaching, Mama, the creditor is coming for the kids. I'm not just trying to make you worry, but I do want us to be awakened. Amen. I want to remind us the creditor is coming. There's a devil. Satan is making an all-out effort to rob us of our children. He's trying to rob our children of their morals. He's trying to rob our children of their convictions. He's trying to rob our children of their sanity. He's trying to rob our children of their purity. Amen. Pornography is bombarding our children. Amen. I can remember as a boy growing up that dirty magazines was hidden from the sight of little boys. And you knew what they were. Now, just about any kind of magazine can have a nearly naked picture on the front of it. Amen. I remember a time even television put those things off till later in the night after the children were supposedly in bed, those advertisements of, for example, of ladies' underwear and things such as that. Now, I mean, they just talk about all kinds of stuff. Amen. From what I've been told, it's on all hours of the day and just about any time it comes in. So our children are being bombarded with pornography. Our children are being bombarded with violence. Amen. I believe that rebellious music bombards the mind of our children. Amen. Satan and his evil world system are doing their best to steal our children right out from our Christian homes. The creditor is coming. He intends to put them in slavery. That's his purpose, to enslave them. Amen. I say this to mamas particularly, and dads, we ought to take heed to this as well. Are we satisfied wearing our good clothes, eating our fine foods, living our luxurious lifestyle while the creditor is coming for the kids? Amen. She had a problem. She was, what was the word? Menaced. That's the word I use. She was menaced by fear. Number two, she was motivated by faith. Amen. Verse number one, she, this woman, cried, the Bible said. There cried a certain woman. Who'd she cry to? Unto Elisha. Now, again, she knew better than just asking him. Amen. Amen. Most people would have said, this woman has no recourse. Her husband's dead. Her children are too young, apparently, to be able to supply the need and to support her and pay this debt. And so they said she has no recourse. She has nowhere to go. But she knew better. She knew where there was a man of God. Amen. She ran to the man of God. Amen and amen. I want to tell you, thank God for the house of God. Thank God for a place to run to. Amen. For a place we can come in and get some help and some strength and some instruction from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. But just like most people would have said, this woman has no recourse. Most people today say that, you know, it's inevitable that we're going to lose our children. They say it's inevitable, but that children's going to go the way of the flesh. They're going to go the way of rebellion. Amen. Amen. They say that it is inevitable that children are going to lose their purity. That they're going to cheat on their spouse. That they're going to wreck their homes. That they're going to get hooked on drugs. All manner of things. That's what society says. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Amen. But can I tell you, mama can be moved, motivated by faith. That fear's there. Fear might cause her heart to tremble, but faith causes her heart to call on God. Amen and amen. Pouring out your heart to God. Go to God in prayer. Amen. Even if some of these things do happen to your children, and they could very easily happen to any of us, our children, very easily. If they do happen, don't give up hope. Keep going to God. Amen. Keep going to God. Amen. I believe things can be made much better if mamas will get on their knees, if mamas will fall on their face before God, if mamas will ring the prayer bells of heaven. Amen. I've told you a number of times, you look in that New Testament, it looks to me like Jesus had a hard time saying no to a crying mama. Amen. It didn't matter if she is a Gentile and he has come to the Jews. It didn't matter if the disciples said, send her away. Jesus wouldn't send her away empty-handed. Amen. He might send her away. He'd send her away with his checkbook, with his name signed, and say, be it unto thee as thou wilt. That's what he said to that Syrophoenician woman. Amen. Amen. You can have what you want. That's what he said. Amen. Why? Because she is a weeping mama coming to the Savior. Amen. You can be motivated. I believe it still works that way, by the way. I believe it still works that way. The woman in our story, she didn't expect Elisha to pay for this out of his own pocket. She probably knew he couldn't. Amen. I don't particularly believe she even expected him to go to the government for assistance, though he had access to the kings of Israel. And I believe she had confidence that Elisha would go to God Amen. Her fear told her that something must be done. Her faith told her God had the solution. Amen. I say that again. Her fear told her that something must be done. Her faith told her that God had the solution. I don't know what she expected. I don't know what she thought. It's amazing to me when I recognize God did exceeding abundantly above all that she asked or thought. Amen. She was driven to God. She came to Elisha because Elisha represented God to the people at that time. Amen. Now we have a mediator. Amen. We have a mediator in heaven. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God we have a mediator. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Mama, there's somebody in heaven that knows how you feel. There's somebody in heaven that knows your concerns. There's somebody in heaven that cares about your children. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Concerning our children, somebody said this. They said, be afraid. Be very afraid. The creditor is coming for our kids. But let your fears activate your faith to call on God, to drive you to God in desperate prayer. Amen. So this woman was menaced by fear. She was motivated by faith. Number three, she got a miracle from the Father. Amen. Verses 4 through 6, I'm not going to read it again, but you know Elisha told her, go get some vessels, bar not a few.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Take that oil and pour it out. And then take all that that's left over. Just keep pouring out until all the vessels are full. Now how's that? I don't know how big her pot was, but let's say she had a 5-gallon pot. Two hungry boys. Best Baptist. Let's say she had a 5-gallon pot. But they come in here, and boys go out, and they gather all these other vessels. And so here's a 1-gallon vessel, here's a 3-gallon vessel, here's a 5-gallon vessel, here's a 10-gallon vessel. Maybe she had 40 1-gallon vessels. I don't know, but she had a bunch, not a few. And so she pours, I imagine she started pouring in the lesser vessels. And she pours 1 gallon, 2 1-gallons, 3 1-gallons, 4 1, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Praise God. Bring me that 3-gallon vessel over here. Pour it and just keeps on till all the vessels are full. Amen. She got a miracle from God. Now she could not produce that. Amen. And if our children do turn out right, it won't be our doing. It'll be Him that gets the glory. We can't produce that. Amen. But I tell you what we can do. We can use the oil that we have. Amen. We can use the oil that we have and try to pour that out in the sight of our children. Amen. Children ought to see Mama pray. Children ought to see Mama weep. Amen. Children ought to see Mama rejoice. Amen. Children ought to see Mama faithful to the house of God. Amen. Just children ought to see Mama reading their Bible. They ought to see the oil that Mama has poured out. And it'll go farther than you think it will. Amen. It can accomplish more than you think it can. Amen. I doubt very seriously that this woman expected God to answer it this way. Amen. I don't know what she thought. She didn't come saying, now, Elisha. She didn't come saying, Elisha, I've got this debt, and I've got these boys, and I've got this pot of oil. She didn't mention the oil. She just mentioned that the creditor is coming for the kids. And he said, what do you have? In the house, by the way. Amen. Let me say this. For if I can say it, for religion, for Christianity to really affect your children, it can't just be in the church house. It's got to be in your house. Amen. It can't just be out in public somewhere. Amen. It's got to be at your house. Amen. Well, she got a miracle from the Father. She poured out her oil.
He told her to sell the surplus and pay the debt. Amen. Amen. I doubt that ever entered into her mind. I've used this quote by John Butler, and I don't have the words. I think I wrote it at the back of my Bible. I could probably turn it out, but he said this. John Butler said, God never performs a miracle unless one is necessary. Amen. God doesn't just haphazardly perform miracles. But if you get in a place, you've got to have God. Amen. You've got to have God. You're apt to find Him. Amen. The last thing, she got, not only she got a miracle from the Father, she got more for the future. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, now she didn't do anything with it. She didn't say, praise God, we're going to live high on the hog now. No, she said, let's go ask the man of God what we're supposed to do with this. Let me back up and say this. You do well to quit listening to Dr. Spock about how to raise children. Amen. Quit listening to the world system, even Dr. Dobson. Amen. On how to raise children, you do well to listen to the man of God that God gave you. Amen. The word of God that God gave you. Amen. Amen. She said, what are we going to do with this? And he said, look at what he said, verse number 7. And he said, go sell the oil. What do you do first? Pay thy debt. That's first. Amen. Before you celebrate with a steak and a milkshake. Amen. And a man bun. Amen. Before you celebrate, pay your debt. That's what he said. Amen. That's good advice to Americans. Yeah. Amen. Oh me. Well, let me get back on the text. I might lose some of you. Amen. Go sell the oil and pay thy debt. Look at that. And live thou and thy children of the rest. He said, not only you got enough to satisfy you today and to satisfy this debt that's owed, you've got enough that you can survive on for a time to come. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know how, I don't believe those boys grew up and never had to work a day in their life. I believe they had to, because it's good for people to learn to work. Amen. I don't believe that, you know, they just had it made the rest of, but I do believe this, there was sustenance available. Amen. Mama, Daddy, if we're going to see children raised for the glory of God, it's not going to be effortless. It's not going to be effortless. And it's not just going to just happen. There's going to have to be a lot of effort put into it. There needs to be a lot of prayer put into it. Amen. But it can happen. Even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, generation. Amen. It can happen that we can raise godly children. I can name you people all in the Bible that did in very adverse circumstances. Amen. Amen. It can happen. And I'll tell you what it's going to take. Prayer and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I want to remind you, Mama, the creditor is coming for the kids. The devil wants to enslave our children. The devil wants to wreck our homes. The devil wants to mar the mind and the future and the life and the hope and the purity and the convictions and the sanity of our children. He really does. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can overrule all that. Are we seeking God? Are we trusting God? Are we asking God for a miracle? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this woman's example, the illustration of her here in our text. Lord, I pray, give us some mamas that'll wet their pillows with tears calling on the Lord. That'll wet the carpet around them with tears calling on the Lord on behalf of their children. Give us some mamas and some daddies that'll be serious about serving God and seeing their family in the house of God and seeing them in the service of God. And Lord, for those that are already gone, I pray, dear God, you'd bring them back. Lord, you said, just like you bring that ear back from that lamb that had been eaten by the lion. Lord, I pray, bring back the pieces and put them back in the house of God and use them to the extent that you can. And for those that are still here, Lord, put a hedge about them. protect them. Lord, if their minds are starting to wander now, I pray, dear God, You'd stop that. You'd put a stop to it. That You'd warn them and awaken them to the reality of Christianity, the reality of serving God. And Lord, You get the glory and give the victory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Some praying, maybe you need to pray as we sing verse or two of this song. As we sing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord?